Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, of which verse 1 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. So where to start? And a good place to start actually is where we left off last week. Last week when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And just to recite a little bit of this and review, we ask the question, so why is it that Jesus had to save us by coming into this world, by going to the cross, by going through those 3 hours of darkness, the being forsaken, the bearing all the sin of the world? And the answer is, well, because he's the good shepherd. And the good shepherd has to go where the sheep are. So into our world, into our darkness, into our sin and our forsakenness, that's where he as the good shepherd had to go. And then the follow-up was, why was it that he had to do it by going to the cross with perfect faith? Why is that such a part of the going to the cross for Jesus? So that the middle word from the cross is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the answer again is, well, because he's the good shepherd. And the good shepherd has to go where his sheep need him to be. He has to bring the promises, the words and promises of God into our darkness. Because it's not only darkness without, there's darkness within. And for all those corners of darkness in the soul, those spots of doubt and questioning and rebelling and wandering off from God and sinning and turning away and everything else, rejecting the words and promises of God, he had to bring the words and promises right there. To the darkness within the soul, to the being rejected, to the being in the place of the rebellious and suffering the punishment for that rebellion, he had to bring it to where we are. And the reason for that is because we have darkness in our lives and we have darkness in our souls, and we need for the words and promises of God to be shown by Jesus, that they are there in every moment of darkness and in every corner of the soul. And then the last part is, and so as Jesus does that, he says something to us, as he said to his disciples, come follow me. Which is, come on, let's walk in the words and promises of God. Let's walk in those words and promises of God in faith together. And I'll go and I'll lead you and I'll bring you. I'll work the work of faith within your souls. And you can hear those words and promises of God every day, every moment of your life, and walk in those words and promises of God. And so it is the tomb breaker, the death destroyer, the promise bringer, who comes to you and says, come follow me. What's going to happen as we follow Jesus? Our tomb's broken, our death destroyed, and the promises of God that are eternal promises given to us. And where does that walk with Jesus in faith lead? Into eternal glory. When will that walk with Jesus in faith? When will the walk of faith and the words and promises of God, when will that end? Trick question. It doesn't. Because for all of eternity, there are the words and promises of God. So that sets the stage for then connecting with this week's word from Jesus. I am the vine, you are the branches. He is the vine, we are the branches. And the words and promises of God that are a part of his life, he shares with us. Can the branch live without being connected to the vine? Hardly. Can we live the spiritual life without being connected to our vine? Hardly. And see, being the branches and Jesus the vine means that all of our life is drawn from Jesus. As all of the words and promises of God are given to us, as the good shepherd is our shepherd, as the life of God put there in his words and promises come through Jesus to us, we have life. And so Jesus the vine gives the life of our souls. How does he do that? Well, he takes the words and promises of God and he puts them in our ears. So through the ears, through the hearing of the words and promises of God, they get down into the soul. And he takes the words and promises of God and he mixes them with water, pours them over you. And then he signs his work by putting his name to the whole business. And he takes the words and promises of God and he puts them together with the body and blood of Jesus, the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper, and he puts them in your mouth and on your tongue so that those words and promises of God may be yours. And that is how, like with the vine, the sap from the vine flows into the branches and gives life. So he does for us. You know, actually, I turned on the baseball game yesterday. Saw Wrigley Field. You know, the ivy on the walls. It's not looking very ivy now, is it? But it's just waiting for that sap to go, and then the leaves come out, and then you see the full glory of the ivy. And so with us, the words and promises of God coming from God to us through his word, more especially through his Son, showing the truth of the words and promises of God into the darkness, comes into our lives, giving the life of the Word of God. Pastor, please describe that life of the Word of God. Okay. I like talking back and forth. Please describe that life of the Word of God. Well, the Word of God, what's the Word of God do? The Word of God speaks and then there's light. The Word of God speaks and then life is brought forth. The Word of God speaks and sins are forgiven. The Word of God stands outside Lazarus' tomb and speaks. And the dead man comes out because don't care that you're dead 4 days. You're coming out right now. Because the Word of God has spoken. And the Word of God one day will return and stand on this earth again. And he will speak. And tombs will be broken. And death will be destroyed. And words and promises of God will come as eternal gifts to us. Because he is the vine. We are the branches. And this is God's design. When? At the end of the gospel lesson, it says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." What does that mean? And the tendency would be to say, in this life we are supposed to bring forth good works, right? That's good fruit. But don't restrict it to that. "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." The bearing much fruit keeps on into all eternity. The bearing fruit means that through God's word pouring into you and giving life, by God's word bringing faith into your soul, then here's one of the good fruits that you bring forth. rising from the dead on the last day. Here's another good fruit that you will bring forth. Singing and shouting the praises of Jesus on Judgment Day. And here's a third of the good fruits that God has designed that you should bring forth. Living forever. That's good fruit, isn't it? And how that happens is, how's it happen? He is the vine, we are the branches. Now, last week, I'm not sure I said this at all three services, but there is a positive and a negative aspect to faith. And both of those are things that we need. It's needed for the Christian walk. Positive aspect of faith is we have the words and promises of God. And to believe the words and promises of God and rejoice in the words and promises of God, that's wonderful, that's fantastic, and that's the positive part. Here's the negative part. Faith means to believe the words and promises of God in spite of everything. In the face of any situation that happens in life, because God's word is still true and is true even in the problems and the darkness and the difficulties and the questions and the, I don't know what God has in mind, but He knows and He's doing what He has promised to do. The one side is faith, seeing the glories of the promises of God. The other side is faith, when you don't quite see the whole plan. Both are necessary. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you didn't quite see the whole plan? Yeah, silly pastor, ask obvious questions, right? Okay. So we need both parts. Again, Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. It has both positive and negative aspects to it. Positive part is we get the words and promises of God surging into our souls to bring about spiritual growth. What's the negative aspect to it? Well, you could read the Luther quote in the bulletin at this point, and I could give you a few moments to read it, but here it is. It's as if the vine could have voice and express itself and say to the gardener, wait a minute, you're bringing shears, pruning shears, and you're going to start lopping branches off of me? What's going on here? This is the whole idea of pruning. And if the vine talked to the gardener in that way, what would the gardener say? According to Luther, he'd say, "You silly vine, you don't see the whole picture. See this branch in you that you're so proud of? It's growing in an unruly manner and it's taking all of the strength that you need for these other parts of your life as the vine. And so, it's got to go. Clip, throw it away. Let it be gone." Did I ever mention to you the time that I tried to do fancy sculpting of the bushes? That was my wife's reaction. Sat on the porch and laughed. It didn't work. Yeah, I know of people that can do these marvelous sculpting of bushes. And I happen, I guess, not to be one of them. So after that year of trying, it took a year or two before the bushes got back to their more regular shape. But God is the master sculptor of us and of our lives. And he goes through our lives and he has in mind exactly what shape we should be growing into. And some of the things in our lives that need to be trimmed back, some of those, well, they really needed to be gone. Other things that needed to be trimmed back, they're okay in and of themselves. It's just that he has in mind this master sculpture that he is designing us to be shaped into. Let me tell you exactly what shape that is. Because it can. God has designed that he is sculpting us into the shape and the image of his Son. How that happens is, again, those parts of us that are unruly need to be trimmed back. We need to have the glory of the words and promises of God showing in us. But part of what has to happen is that we need to grow in this thing called faith. Because that is the pattern of our Lord and Savior Jesus. The walk of faith, trusting in the words and promises of his Father. Walking the walk of faith. And so there have to be times in our life where we have to believe the words and promises of God just simply because they are words and promises of God. And without seeing any proof, knowing that they are words and promises of God, and we hold on to them because they are words and promises of God. In another illustration, I call it spiritual exercise, where you go through these times to test the faith and to make it stronger, and then in between those times are times of rest and relaxing, and the times of our life come along in times of blessing and times of trial, times of seeing the wondrousness of what it means to walk with the words and promises of God, and times when heaven seems dark and closed and we don't hear those words and promises of God very clearly at all. And we simply hold on to them because we know that there is a Savior who came for us to walk that path for us and to lead us in growing in faith. And for all of those times when we fall short and when we question and when we seem to stumble and wander off from the words and promises of God, that's why we've got a good shepherd who came into those times of darkness for us, who carried our failings to the cross to suffer and die for us and set us free, who renews the words and promises of God into our lives and into our souls. That's why it's so sweet to be a Christian and to have this Jesus saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. That's a promise. In Jesus' name, amen.